important to know the difference between goals and control. And goals are wonderful and goals are great. And the good thing about goals is you tend to, if you put your mind to it, if you put your will behind it, you get your goals. Dreams, on the other hand, can often be outside of your control. That's where the realm of faith and the miraculous come in. They're outside of your control, and often it might even rely on somebody else to make it happen. So it's good to have both, because dreams make life exciting, and goals can encourage you along the way. If you have goals, it can help you to go, yep, I done that, check that one off, got that one, okay, 2011, tick, I did those goals. Dreams, on the other hand, sometimes it's not in your control to make them happen, but it doesn't stop you having them, and it does make you feel good when you say, you know what, didn't happen in 2011, we'll carry it over 2012. It may be even a dream you know is in the distant future. So just wanted to encourage you with, you know, goals and dreams, because I know when I learned that, I started to get less stressed about the whole dream thing, because I often put dreams and goals in the same bag and kept thinking, oh, why am I not reaching my goals? Because my goals were actually my dreams. And dreams are often, in fact, that's by the very nature of them, they're outside of our control sometimes and often rely on the miraculous or intervention from somebody else. And so to avoid frustration, make your goals, dream your dreams. Okay, 2011, I'm just going to invite Kev to come down because we are modeling our lovely Love Our City t-shirts. And I think most of you know us, but Kev and I live in this neighborhood. I think we are one of few. Natasha also lives in this neighborhood.
Hello.
Okay. So we have our Love Our City t-shirts, and we are doing that. We are loving our city. We love our city. We love our neighborhood. This is our son's school. This was our daughter's school. We both work in the city. And we're trying to make a difference in the city through our work, through our neighborhood, this neighborhood, and through our kids, I guess. Hi, Case. So we're both a part of the leadership team here at Catch the Fire Midtown, and we lead a cell in this neighborhood. And we just wanted you to know that we're very behind this year's determination to love our city.
Yeah, Jill asked me if I had anything before she started in terms of how to make an impact. And a long time ago, somebody said something to me which actually made an awful lot of sense. Now, if you want to change something, we can look at the whole picture and say, wow, it's a little bit bigger than me. Or you can turn around and say, can I make a difference? And what the exercise he did was, he came along and he said, stand there. And he started doing this.
No.
It doesn't hurt. You keep on doing it long enough and there will be a bruise. You will make a mark. You will make a dent. So even doing something very small and very gentle will eventually erode a mountain. Whether beating on something long enough will erode a mountain. So, yeah, can you make a difference just in yourself, in the small being of what impact you can do on the actual concrete slab that you're standing on when you're actually waiting for a train or waiting for a bus. But if you pray and start actually just hitting it, just slowly, eventually we can invoke change. Gandhi was not a violent man, but by doing something very small, it became bigger and bigger, and it was not an intent of causing hurt to anyone, but he actually changed a nation. Just one man and just a few words. We can do the same because we have something greater than Gandhi had, because we walk in Father's love and we love our city.
Thank you. I love Kevin Lee too. So, love our city. The theme of today's specific topic is bringing peace and prosperity to our city. And I think that's a good thing, right? It comes from the scripture of Jeremiah 29, verse 7, where it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Who can appreciate that the economics of a situation is, if wherever you are at is being successful and prosperous, then that will automatically spill into your life. We know that because the reverse is also true. When there is recession and economic decline, it tends to impact us and can make for our lives to fall into that economic decline also. So in this situation, Jeremiah, who is a prophet to the nation and to bring quite a difficult word. You know, he was bringing the word and that there was basically a lion coming to the nation that was going to rampage and decimate the nation. And there were a few things in place that the nation of Israel had to comply with, because it was one of those if you then statements. If you will change, then I will protect you. As a result, the nation did not change. And by verse 29, you see that Nebuchadnezzar has come in, and the nation of Israel has been distributed and exiled, placed into exile. So Jeremiah's prophecies sadly have come true in the sense that what God has given Jeremiah to bring have now come into pass. And now Israel is spread across the nations. And it's like God is now saying, okay, you lost the city, you lost your own city, you lost your own nation. Now I want you to bless the nations you are placed into. And I want you to think for a moment about how the Jewish people have been exiled across the world, and how very often they have brought peace and prosperity into the countries that they've been exiled into. That has not always been well received, because of course by being prosperous themselves and bringing prosperity to the city, that brought about jealousy within the communities they were living in. So even God's blessing on them did not cause them the problem, but it evoked in the enemy another reason to bring about dispute between the Jewish people and the people around them. But here is a command by God to the Jews: seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So that is our command to us, to go into our city and to speak peace and prosperity into it. We want to see Toronto be prosperous. And that means, sometimes it means aligning ourselves with the leadership, or at least if we disagree on some of the politics of the leadership, at least seeing that we follow the rules of that leadership, and that we pray for wisdom for that leadership also. So bringing peace to our city, peace is linked to obeying God's laws. If you follow his laws, if you follow his decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. Again, another one of those if you then statements by God. If you follow my decrees and commands, I will grant peace in the land, and then you will not be afraid. I thought it was interesting this morning that something that was being prayed about and we were worshiping through was that whole thing of fear. You know, are there things of which you are afraid? And are there things of which we need to bring to God and say, oh my goodness, this frightens me. You know, my future is a little scary. But God is saying, if you follow those things that I have already put into place, if you follow the decrees and commands that I've told you about, that I've put into place through the authority that I've put into you and people around you, if you follow those, you will not come to any harm. You will not need to be afraid. And the beautiful thing is there will be peace. You know that Trevor and I are teachers, and some of the good discussions we have, and something that Trev brought to my attention was the whole thing about rules is that, you know, rules are only put into place. The Ten Commandments, for example, rules are only put into place because people don't follow rules. People are chaotic or disordered or not respecting or honoring one another. And when that happens, you can guarantee the moment something like that happens in a school, when somebody displays lack of respect, a lack of honor, unruliness, you can guarantee a rule is coming. It will come in through the principal. So for example, if a kid falls over and hurts themselves and drags a few kids down the toboggan hill and they end up in a bloody mess at the bottom, You can guarantee there's going to come a rule. Why? Because two children did not respect one another and didn't respect the play space and did something dangerous. And it's kind of, as a teacher, sometimes you hate these rules that come down because you think, you know, they should be able to toboggan. But you know what? When things go wrong and there's a lack of honor between kids and disrespectfulness and rowdiness and unruliness, you can guarantee there's going to be a rule come in. Because once that is broken, once something has broken, once that dishonor and that lack of respect has come in, you can guarantee a rule is coming. Because it is there, because it has to be. Rules don't tend to come out of nowhere. They come out of a lack of respect or a lack of orderliness or a lack of something. So it's not that God suddenly thought up loads of rules when he delivered the Ten Commandments or even through his decrees. It's because of a lack of something that he knew he had to bring in a set of rules. So those commands, those decrees, those rules that God gives us are usually because, I see that I gave them freedom and the freedom didn't work, so I'm now going to have to put a few rules in place. And it's the same in school. It's the same with parents. It's the same probably in your workplace. You know, if everybody leaves cookies out and somebody takes the cookies, then you have to have a rule about, if you leave cookies out, you better make sure that, you know what I mean? It's those sorts of things that happen. If you don't clean up the kitchen after you, and you leave it a mess for somebody else, you can guarantee there's a rule comes in that's now a schedule for you all to be on. Okay? That just reminds me of something, okay? I noticed that there was a beautiful cake made today. Thank you very much to whomever it was who made the cake. We are, because Natasha runs the hospitality, we love the fact that people amongst the congregation are taking kind of ownership and bringing things. It just would really, 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 really help if you let Natasha know. Just because Natasha often has to do a little run first thing in the morning to Dominion and bring stuff. And then when she gets here, if there's lots and lots of goodies already here, it kind of, well, you can guess how that makes somebody feel. It's like, I didn't need to get up 45 minutes early just to go get those things. So let her know if you intend to bring something, because that really blesses us. And it obviously means that you have a spirit of hospitality yourself. So get onto that rota and focus that hospitality gift on a regular basis and make sure that you are blessing Natasha but also the rest of the church, because that is really great. And thank you so much. I'm sure it was very enjoyable. Didn't get to the cake myself, but I was kind of waylaid by the cheesy popcorn. So I didn't get to the cakiness. So bless you and thank you. So, okay, coming back to what I was talking about. Following God's laws, following his commands is a route to peace. I bet you didn't realize that. I don't know whether it makes sense that there's a connection between those two. I know that peace in our school often comes when rules are followed. There we go. So we are required to, in many of the decrees that God has given us, to pray for our city. And I don't know how many of you do that. I don't know how many of you even like the city of Toronto. Because I hear lots of different things. Oh, you know, I can't stand going to the city. Can't stand it. I wouldn't live anywhere near the city. That kind of thing. And you sort of think, well, that may be true. But we have to be careful about how we speak about our city. I'm not saying that you can't ever, you know, dislike the city of Toronto. But I would be kind of careful about how you're speaking into it. And I would sort of say, if you don't like something about Toronto, pray into it. Whatever it is about Toronto that is like, ugh, you know, I can't stand how crowded it is, then pray about that. If you can't stand how, you know, the financial district just has that nasty sort of air about it, then pray for it. So anything that is dislikable about the city, pray into it. And if you don't like living in the city, then pray that it becomes a city that people want to live in, or that people want to live around the outsides of. So if you're wondering, you know, I don't really like Toronto, you know, what could I pray about? Then pray about the things you don't like and see if God will change them. I know in my own school, I didn't know what to pray about particularly, but one thing that I wanted to pray at specifically was peace. And I found myself, without thinking about it, that's what I wanted for my school. I wanted peace in my school because there was a lot of fighting and there was a lot of violence in the school. And so when we got together in our prayer group, that's what we pray for. And for the last 2 years, there has been an enormous increase in the peace in our school. I guess that would be God answering prayers, right? And it's tangible, and people have commented upon it. And, you know, God has made a dramatic impact on the peace of the school. And it's like there's a canopy over it. Obviously, we're still going with that. I still pray peace into the classrooms and peace. I even pray peace onto children who are not in peace and can clearly be seen not to be in peace. So prayer is your tool when you don't particularly know exactly what you want to do. It's the tool to which you can see the change. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. And I love that. Those who love you should feel kind of secure around you. So those who love you at work, those who love you at home, you can make them feel secure by praying peace into their life. Even if you're a husband praying peace on your wife as you leave, or on peace on your wife as she leaves, if your friend living with another friend praying peace on them, even asking for God's peace as you leave, as you walk out of your own front door, whatever it is, just seeking peace in your life. Speak peace to situations and people in our city. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, I love the fact that Canada is one of the biggest peacekeeping nations of the world. And I'm very proud to be Canadian because of that. I've come from a heritage of the British heritage, which, frankly, not well known for its peacekeeping. Well known for its bossing a lot of people aroundness and taking over things. So not well known for its peacekeeping. So as a Canadian, you should be really, really proud that you're part of a peacekeeping nation. What we need to be is a nation of God that is a peacemaking nation, because there is a subtle but very considerable difference in the wording. Peacekeepers maintain the status quo or try and stand in the middle of conflict. They will either stand this way and protect one group of people or stand that way and protect another. So their role is in trying to deal with conflict by keeping the two separate or by being in the middle to maintain that peacekeeping. As a peacemaker, it is a much more engaged activity. You actually have to get into the thick of things. You actually have to make a difference. And it does rely on you being in conflict. To be a peacemaker, you actually have to confront somebody. To be a peacemaker, you actually have to try and make a difference in the situation. And it's not going to happen if you stay neutral. You actually have to say the route to peace is this, 1, 2, 3. That's how we're going to get peace. And so it actually is... It's more, when you think of, you know, the violence shall take by force. It's much more that. Peacemaking is almost not a violent act, but it's a very positive, it's a very considered, it's a very determined thing. It's not a sort of neutral, passive role. It's about doing something, because making is a different verb to keeping. And making suggests that you create something out of nothing. Where there is no peace, you make it happen. How do we make it happen? Well, first of all, we speak it. We speak peace to our city. Again, if there's something you don't like about our city, then speak peace into it. Speak peace into Rob Ford right now. Whether you like or dislike his policies, doesn't really matter. He is now our mayor. We need to speak peace into his life. You know, one thing I think every time I see him, bless him, he seems like a nice guy, but speak peace into his body. This gentleman needs some help because he's overweight, and I'm concerned about that. And God, every time I see him, I pray for him, for his health. Because if he's going to be our mayor, then I want him to be healthy. And right now, I see his weight as being a concern to me. So I'm speaking peace into his body, okay? So speaking peace into the situations and people in our city. I want to be a child of God. And if me being a peacemaker means being a child of God, I like that idea. Being a peacemaker in situations for me at school often require me to get up off my bottom and not listen to what's going on, but go to the source. You know, I get a lot of people complaining about situations, and I understand that. People are frustrating. Teachers frustrate other teachers. Just as much as kids frustrate teachers frustrate other teachers. And I'm sure you're in situations in your own workplace where other people frustrate you. How do we do that? How do we make peace in our situations at work? Then we have to go to the source. We actually often have to get up. We have to go to it and confront the situation. And that's how we make peace. Because if we just sit down on our bottoms and remain neutral, we can keep the peace by keeping our mouth shut and not passing on the rumor or the hurt. But sometimes that can still be going on. Somebody's still out of control. Somebody's still angry. And so very often it requires you to take the hand of the person who's hurt, take them with you and say, I think you need to speak to that person that you're upset with. And you can go with them sometimes. I think you need to talk to that person. And I don't need to need you to do it by email. I actually think you need to go to their office. Just have a quick word. And it's not easy. Peacemaking is not easy. It's not easy for you. It's not easy for them. And sometimes it's not easy for the person that you're going to. But I honestly believe if you're praying and you're making that peace, it will bless not only the people, but it will bless the workplace, because it's a contrary way of working. You know that God is a tipsy-turvy, upside-down kind of God. Whatever makes sense in the world, God tips it upside down, says, I don't want you to do it like that, I want you to do it like this, like loving your enemies. Any fool can love somebody who's lovable, right? I can love all the lovable kids, you know, all the little cuties. Hello, Miss Lee. Sure, I can love those. But God doesn't call me to love those. He calls me to love the ones that are sulking and hitting kids and hitting the wall and running amok and not listening to me. He calls me to love them as much as the, hello, Mrs. Lee, how are you? Yes, I'll do that. He wants me to love the little ones equally as much as sometimes in a different way. And it's the unlovely. See, that's the tipsy-turvy side of God. The tipsy-turvy, upside-downy world of God is that not loving the lovely ones, but loving everybody and the unlovely ones as much as. So, God's nature is peace. You know, Jesus is often described as the Prince of Peace, so I guess that makes God the King of Peace. Let's take God into our city. If we need anyone to bring peace into our city, it's going to be God. It's going to be God who's going to stand there and roar like a lion and get everybody's attention and go, okay, you guys, we need to talk. We need to get you to consider what you're doing. Because right now, what is happening in our city is destruction, and it's bringing the city down. Because the city listens to many, many voices, but ultimately the voice that the city often listens to is the voice of the enemy. Why? Because he brings division, he brings destruction, he's bringing about hatred. Between races, between genders, he's bringing that destruction and division. God, on the other hand, wants to bring everybody together and go, okay, what's happening here? Because I am God. I am Lord of all. I am King of Peace. And my son is Prince of Peace. Let us find peace. And the same can be said about the churches in the city. You know, it's gone are the days where it was, you know, our church is better than your church because we sing more songs and we put our hands up 10 minutes longer than your guys do and we have more healings at our church. Gone. Those days are gone. They're just like, throw them away. It does not matter how people are expressing their relationship with God. Sure, you and me and everybody else here obviously likes the style that Catch the Fire does. We love that style, and yes, we have bought into and gone into and loved revival, but that does not mean that the little tiny Pentecostal church down the road that does, you know, a very cute little tiny little service on a Sunday morning isn't being loved by God and bringing peace one by one, bit by bit, just like Kev was saying, a nudge at a time, isn't bringing peace to our city. They're just doing it in a different way. And I think I don't think anybody in this room thinks like that. But if we are, we just need to repent. We need to kick ourselves up the behind and start thinking, you know what, it's about unity. It's about us working together. It's about the different flavors that we all bring. Because I can tell you, catch the fire is not the only way that people will come to Jesus. I know that it has been a major way that many people have come to Jesus, but there's always going to be somebody who's going to come to Jesus because of the Catholic Mass they went to. You know? And you know, for some of us, that's very foreign. I've never been to Catholic Mass, truthfully. Put my hand up, never been to it. But you know what? God is there too. Even though there's differences in our, not in our theology, but in our creed and the way we carry on. So that unity is what God is looking for. When he's talking about bringing peace, his actual nature is unity. His actual nature is peace. So as a body, we need to represent that. And and if you want to have another thing to pray for, so we have the city itself to pray for, but pray for our brothers and sisters in the different denominations, in all the different ways that they bring peace to the city. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. And I know that during the manifestation period of Catch the Fire, or TACF as it was, a lot of people would quote this and say, that's why it's wrong that you're all rolling around on the floor and having Holy Spirit laughter. Because here, disorder, peace. That's not what that scripture means. The difference, but you can have peace screaming at the top of your lungs and welcoming Holy Spirit. It's not about quiet. Peace and quiet often go together but are not the same word. Yes, you can be peaceful. But you can be peaceful screaming at the top of your lungs and enjoying Jesus. Absolutely. We're talking about that peace that goes against understanding. You know, it's the sort of brave heart peace. The sort of brave heart peace is when you stand in front of a whole load of British soldiers who are armed to the teeth, and all you've got is a few spears and a few swords, and you're going to go against him. And you're going to charge at them with your blue paint on your face. I can see, yeah. Remember, I'm British, just again. And you're going to charge against them. But even I get caught up in the brave heart spirit. That's peace. That's peace. There's no understanding there. You're going to get slaughtered, mate. Those British, they're armed. They've got, you know, everything. They've got a lot of money. And they're going to come charging at you, and it's not going to be good. But they've got peace. You know, all those battles in the Old Testament, they had peace when they went into battle. It goes beyond understanding. And, you know, we don't have to link peace always to violence. There are many situations where you have peace. Those situations when you're at work where you know everybody else is going to have a big old argument, and you walk in and you just think, I'm okay. I've got the joy of the Lord kind of bubbling up inside of me. I might just giggle if there's an argument in here, because, you know, I'm not touched by this. I'm not touched by what's going on around me. I'm at peace. And that isn't because I'm peacing out, as my Sophie always says. She said, peace out, Mom. Peace out. It's not because, you know, I'm totally out of it. It's because I have the God of peace, God whose very nature is peace, with me. And it's that peace. It's the disorder that's being talked about here is the disorder of panic. The disorder of what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, stress, stress, stress. Running around, dealing with it yourself. I do that all the time. I try to deal with things by myself instead of going, ooh, let's just switch it down a second and talk to God first. And then there will be no more disorder and the peace will come instead. So I don't know whether any of you have ever heard that used in that context before of, you know, speaking against manifestations, but I know I did. Maybe it was something that I heard a lot in England, but yeah. And prosperity. Woo-hoo! Who wants a little prosperity for the city? Woo-hoo! Because prosperity for the city means prosperity for us, and I pray prosperity on all of you. You know what? I hope 2011 downloads some incredible, God downloads some incredible financial and business opportunities. It's, you know, God has given you the opportunity to be the head and not the tail. Now, I don't know how he speaks to you in terms of prosperity. It could be prosperity of business acumen, just your respectability in the community. It could actually be financial, so you may have business ideas. It could just be in the way you are respected. So that prosperity could be in who you are and how respected you become. But I pray that for you, that this year you would get a download of things from God that make you the head and not the tail. So that you become, you know, an apple. Not a literal apple, but like an apple company. You know, we want to see Christians being in companies that have the impact on the apple. I mean, wouldn't you be like to have been the person that decided, you know what? I'm not going to have that computer. I think we'll make our own. And we'll call it Apple. Wouldn't you like to have been that person? And that's what it takes. And guess who is the creator of all things? God. So he can give you those ideas. I can't tell you how many stocks and shares ideas God has given to Kev. Every single time there's something goes on, Kev says, I think I should invest in this. And I say, yes, I think you should. And then he doesn't. And then he's like, I should have invested, shouldn't I? Because the stock's gone, whoosh. And it's happened 4 or 5 times now. And I said to him, this year I said to him, you are going to take your, there's some money he has, you're going to take that money, and the next time God speaks to you, you're just going to invest it. Because God has just spoken to him so many times and said, do this. Or, you know, this would be a good idea. Now, you and I have had those kind of, this, it would be a good idea too. Like today, like yesterday, no, sorry, on Friday, it would have been a good idea if I'd picked up my oven mitts, like God reminded me. Because when we were at the retreat, we were lacking in the oven mitt department, weren't we? God told me that on Friday. And I'm dashing about thinking, should I take the oven mitts? Yeah, it's probably not going to be there. But did I? No. Okay, so I don't particularly have the stocks and shares thing download, but I do have the oven mitt download. And if I hadn't listened to God, we would have been a little bit better prepared. So, you know what? Be faithful in the oven mitt department, and you may give you more, right? Okay, Kev has been a little more faithful in the financial department because he's listened to God, so he gets a little bit more. But be faithful in the small things, and hear him, and listen to him, and he will give you more. So it may not be oven mitts he's reminding you to bring. It may be something with a little bit more importance. Mind you, oven mitts were very important this weekend, weren't they? They would have been really important. There you go. So there's my sharing. So prosperity is linked to obeying God's laws. You know what? And hearing his voice. Obeying God's laws. Submit to God and be at peace with him. Oh, my goodness. I had to stop there when I read that because I have a friend in England and love this boy, but he frequently gets angry with God. Now, of course, we all get angry with God at times and we shout at him. But when I saw this, I thought, you know what? There could be a link as to why sometimes he struggles in the area of prosperity. Because he's not at peace with God. He doesn't make up. He may have his argument with God, but I'm not so sure that he makes up afterwards. And I would bring this to you as a group of people, that if you are somebody who gets regularly angry with God, and of course you have every right, you know, you can express that anger to him, but make sure you make peace with him. And at the end of your anger, you say, but your will be done. I hear, you know, I am angry at this situation, but I love you and I trust you. And let there be peace between us. Because here it says, if we're not at peace with him, then we may be missing out on the prosperity thing. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Submit to God and be at peace with him. That means at the end of the day, whatever we're feeling, whether we're feeling angry with him, whether we think he's the cause of our problems or the solution to our problems, we have to be at peace with him. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity. I tell you what, it seems like a good idea to try it, if nothing else. Make peace with God every single day. Just as we're given the Lord's Prayer to pray every single day. The essence of the Lord's Prayer is basically, thank you, God, forgive me, God, forgive them, God. And here we are with being at peace with God. There is a component of that within the Lord's Prayer. Because by praying all those other things, you must be at peace with him to ask him to be so much involved in your own life, right? So, seems like a good idea to him. Making money to help God's kingdom is okay. It's okay to make money. That's why I want you to have wonderful ideas that help you to be prosperous. that help you to make money. I was just talking to Alicia yesterday. She gave me an idea of something that maybe she could do in my school. Now, it's a tiny, weeny seed of an idea, but it might be something, and it could be something she could make money on. So I'm kind of like, okay, we'll look into that. God, I didn't have that idea. We were talking, and a little download came from God. Now, that's what we're talking about. It's like, it doesn't, it's not, it's, you know, you and I know that money is not wrong. There's nothing wrong with money. Just loving it so much that you put everything else behind you, loving money is wrong. But then loving, you know, cheesy popcorn can be wrong too, because it's not really very healthy for you, right? You know, loving anything that's not really healthy for you in excess is not going to be good for you, so that's why. But money itself, well, you know what God can do with money. He multiplies it. You bring a little 10%. You return 10% of the money he's given you anyway, and he multiplies it. You have Heidi Baker Ministries going out because God multiplied the money. That's what your tithe goes towards. It goes towards Midtown for sure, yeah, but it goes towards Heidi Baker Ministries. It goes towards Hope Ignited. It goes towards Japan and its house of prayer. It's amazing. Your prosperity leads to other people's prosperity and ministry. It's fantastic. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. We're going to ask for a portion of Daddy's prosperity because, of course, God holds on to the kingdom, the wealth of the kingdom of the world. He has the keys to the wealth of the world. So we're just going to ask him for a small portion of that because we inherit that. It's our inheritance to have that. So we're just asking God, in whatever way you see my skills serve you best, give me a portion of your prosperity. And I promise that I will pour it into the people of the church through my tithes and offerings. And I will bring prosperity to the church by supporting those who are in struggles, and prosperity to the nations of the world. It's a good deal. It's very good, and God wants to do that. That's the beauty of it. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be prosperous so that you can benefit others, because from the excess that you have, even if it's only 10% excess, from the excess you have, you will bless the world. Your money can bless people. Not just your actions, which is fantastic, but your money can do that as well because it's sanctified. When you hand it in, it gets prayed over and it's blessed. God's heart is for prosperous cities. I don't know whether you knew that. Remember that with Abraham, when Abraham did the right thing, he was given cities. So God values cities. He sees something very important in cities. For him, cities is like a new pair of boots to me. You know, it's very valuable to me, maybe not so to you. For him, God saw that as a valuable thing. If I'm giving you a city, it means it's very valuable. So look after it. Make it prosperous. And I know that many of us work in the city, whether we're working with children or adults or in the financial sectors, whether we're working in technology or the travel industry. We're serving our city. We're looking after it. We're making it prosperous. We're spreading money around the city. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. I believe there is a very, very strong reason why Canada has not suffered so badly during the recession. And I believe it has got a lot to do with this. I believe it is because Canada, there has been so much prayer in Canada that we have managed to ride through this economic situation that we're in. Look at what's happening in Britain. Britain is struggling. It really is struggling. I hear reports from my family and I see the news myself. It's in dire straits at the moment. And I know that there are godly people in England. But there hasn't been that, what I would call that trumpet call across the nation to pray for Canada, to pray for Britain in the way that Canada has prayed for itself. We need to pray for our cities. If you're praying for Ottawa because of the fact it's a prime ministerial city, pray for Ottawa as well. But pray for our cities, for the prosperity of our city, because the prosperity of the city is the prosperity of the nation. And bringing peace and prosperity to our city requires humility and character. Those are the things that kind of hurt. Those are the things that God will chip away at. God, you probably know this already, God does not care about your reputation. He does not care if you look good in front of other people. In fact, he likes it when the mighty are brought down. You see that many, many times. So if you start to feel a little kind of, I'm really pretty good, aren't I? Look at me. I'm not saying that pride will necessarily come and then there's going to be the fall, but you need to recognize that humility is something very, very important. And if that we are in any sort of pride area, that it does not bother God at all to trip you up. And, you know, in a way, have your bloomers show. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't bother him, because he will be there to pick you up, dress you down, restore your dignity, restore your humility. He will be there for you, but he doesn't mind if you lose the respect of other people, because you never lose respect from him. But sometimes we need to be humbled. That is a very dangerous prayer to pray. God, humble me. Be very careful, because he will. And he does it in a very public way. And he does it so that you realize how enormous is his love and how teeny-weeny small we are. But that's how he loves us. Just like sometimes it is very, very important for Casey, when he's showing off, for him to have a little fall off his bike. Or for him to scoot off his skateboard. Or for him to smack into something on his snowboard. Why? Because he's being too cocky, as we call it in English. He's being too cocky. He is putting himself a little too far forward, and it hurts. I don't want to see him get hurt. Of course I don't. I'm a mum. But I have to bite my lips sometimes, and I have to let him make a fool of himself. I have to let him cry publicly, and I have to say, I'm here for you. But you know what? If you had listened, and you had not been so cocky, wouldn't have happened. Just saying. And character, oh my goodness, character. You know how valuable character is to God. Character is the vessel which we hold Holy Spirit in. And our vessel is fine whether it's cracked and leaky and broken, because he'll still pour Holy Spirit into you. He'll pour Holy Spirit into you. If there's a giant hole in the bottom of you, then it's just going straight through you. That's your character. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if our character did not have cracks and holes in it, but kind of held his beautiful Holy Spirit, so that instead of it gushing out of us all over the place, unintentionally and unfocusedly, it's being poured into other people. If it's just pouring out of us, it's not being intentional. If it's pouring into somebody else, it's being intentional. So our character is the vessel with which we hold beautiful, beautiful Holy Spirit. And patching up is God's job. He patches us up. But not getting broken in the first place, not subjecting ourselves to situations. You know, like I don't give small children glasses to walk around with. I'm sure you don't either. And there's a very good reason why. Because it's likely to fall. And sometimes we have to hold our character like that. If we are in anywhere where we're likely to fall, maybe we should get out of that situation. If we are likely to get cracked, maybe we should pull ourselves away. Find another situation to be put ourselves into. Don't put pressure on your pot. Don't put pressure on that little pot that you're holding Holy Spirit in. Keep it intact so that you're able to pour out. And that's your character. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. And I'm not sure that the word meek, or some people always see it as being like, you know, yes, sure, walk all over me. No, you can stamp all over me. I'll be your doormat. That's not meek. Meek is kind of, I have a little poster in my classroom that used to say, self-control is knowing that you can, but deciding that you won't. You know, because I have a lot of kids who can, if you know what I mean. They could. If they really wanted to, they could. But self-control is knowing that you won't, deciding that you won't do that. And that's part of the character. And to me, that's meekness. It's self-control. So it's actually, has anybody seen The Blind Side? The Blind Side? It's got that big character in it. Beautiful, big guy. And, you know, he could. He could. But he decides he won't. Except for once when he pushes that guy. But anyway, that's part of the story and it's really good. But he's showing self-control, and that's meekness. That's meekness when you don't go, "Papa, here I am, look how wonderful I am." It's when you know that you could, but you're not actually going to do that. You're going to actually smile and watch instead. And if you're in a cell group, you will have been doing the Lared material, which is all about character building. It's about character building for you, me, and I've found it hugely helpful just in getting a few things in my mind kind of sorted out. And I know that it will be helpful for you when you take it into either your places of work or your places of influence. So, two things that I want us to consider. If peace and prosperity come by obeying God's law, then we need to know what his law is, right? We need to know God's word. I don't know whether you noticed this morning, maybe if you were in deep worship, but Alicia, when she was speaking out, whereabouts was that from the scriptures that you were speaking? Thank you. Revelation 5. Notice I ask Alicia. I don't start scrambling in my own brain to try and find it, because Alicia knows the word of God. And I know there are other people in this room who are just like that. Alicia frequently quotes, not just a line like I do, she'll frequently quote huge passages like she did this morning. And people start to lift their eyes up and look and think, she's not reading that. And I'm not saying we have to be like Alicia, though you know what? When I grow up, I'd like to be like Alicia. But man, she's devoured the word. She's a younger Christian than I am, and she's devoured the word. She knows what the word is. So, you know, maybe we can all say, hey, 2011, we want to be a little more Alicia-like. We just want to honor you, Alicia, because you're fabulous. And so start some kind of reading program. It doesn't have to be read the Bible in a year. If you think that truly is not going to be me, read the Bible in 10 years, whatever it takes. Like whatever reading program you want, do it. But do it. Reading a Bible in the year, that's a fantastic and it's great. And you'll probably find yourself reading about 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, depending on how quick you read. 10, 15, 20 minutes. You can split it up in the morning, in the night, whatever way of doing it, but I would encourage you to do it. And if you want a way of doing it that's not in a reading program, one that suggested there, read 4 chapters a day, 3 old and 1 new. Or you can read 2 Old Testament, 1 New Testament, and a Psalm. Whatever way you want to do it. But I would encourage you to do it. Because there's something about having that storehouse, about having that thing to draw on, because you know what? You can pretty much guarantee the moment you really need that stuff is the moment you can't go, excuse me, just wait there for 1 second. Hang on. No, keep going. No, I'll be back in a second. Wait, no, wait. No, I was going to get the scripture out. It's really good. It's happened to me because I didn't know my scriptures. Okay, so I'm encouraging you, and I know that many of you are like Alicia and you've got it. So I would encourage you, go with it and keep going. So, and the other thing, if peace and prosperity come by taking on the character and heart of God, I need to know to grow in godliness. What can I do? Well, there's 2 things that we would suggest you do. I mean, we would love you to go on an encounter weekend. Why? Because it's a great starting point. Get yourself in a cell and do the Lared with the cell group. Because all of those things are really fantastic. And from the cell group will be many, many other things that will build your character and develop prayerfulness within your group, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to get into groups of 3 or 4, and I want you just to pray. What I suggest is actually trying to avoid being with the people you came with, and just, I'm just looking for numbers, girls with girls, boys with boys. Just because of, just to help us out here. So girls with girls, boys with 3 or 4, groups of 3 or 4, and I'm going to put the 2 back up. One of these things may be for you. If there is these things aren't for you, then I want you to pray for your city. And I want you to spend the rest of the last 5-10 minutes praying for your city or praying for yourself as part of this praying for the city, as part of our Love on Our City program. Okay? Yay. So it may be that you need to pray for a... Don't worry. Don't worry. We just need to pray for a way for you to start a Bible reading program. It may be that you need to join a cell. Tell each other if you're in a cell or not. Just let each other know. Okay. That should be a question you ask. Okay. Ask each other, what's your Bible reading like? And go from there. And then we'll know what to pray for. Okay, in about 1 minute, I'm going to bring you back together. So just turn your attention in 1 minute. Okay, if you can just stop what you're doing, you can go back to this, but I just wanted to pray with you together before we are kind of dismissed. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for two areas in particular. Daddy, I just thank you for Midtown. I thank you for each and every single person in this room, including those little ones. And Daddy, I just pray that we would be grounded in your word. Help each one of us to develop and stick to and follow some kind of reading program so that we love and enjoy and immerse ourselves in your word. And therefore, we will keep your decrees because of knowing your word. So I just pray that for each and every one of us in this room. And secondly, I just pray for a strength of character, that we would be the kind of people that we would hold your decrees, that we would hold your authority, that we would hold the things that you've placed into us, and we would not be leaky vessels letting it all drip out of us, but that we would be intentional about what we have because we can hold it. I pray protection over our character. I pray protection over our humility. I pray protection over the influence that we have, that it would be always positive and always godly. That our influence would shine and our influence would highlight the path back to you. Thank you, Daddy, for each individual in this room. And I pray peace and prosperity on them and peace and prosperity on the city of Toronto. Thank you, Daddy, that you've given us an awesome city. Thank you that we can pray into our city. Thank you that we have a strategy. And Midtown, I just want to bless you and release you. You may continue if you haven't quite finished your prayers. Otherwise, bless you and we'll see you next week.